Hi, this is Alison from Sanctuary, reflecting on Acts chapter 10. We have here a great story about food, and it makes me wonder, who do you eat with? But first, the story. As a Jewish man, Peter will not eat certain foods. But in a vision, God shows him all kinds of four-footed creatures and reptiles and birds, and tells him to kill and eat. Now, as prawn cracker crunching, pork chop eating Gentile followers of Jesus, it's very easy for us to roll our eyes and say, well, duh. But this is only because we're the beneficiaries of Peter's radical response to this vision. For while he is still pondering what he has seen, he's invited to the house of a Gentile. And although it's against Jewish law for him to associate with or visit a Gentile, on the basis of his vision, Peter the Jew accepts. In the company of other Jewish disciples then, Peter travels to Caesarea and visits Cornelius and his gathered family and friends. I'm learning that God shows no favoritism, says Peter, and that in every nation, anyone who fears God and does what is right is acceptable to God. Even while he is speaking, the Holy Spirit falls upon Cornelius and co. And seeing this, Peter asks his fellow Jews, can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who've received the Holy Spirit just as we have? In the shocked silence which follows, he orders these Gentiles to be baptized. And then he stays for a few days, necessarily eating and drinking with his Gentile hosts. And the rest is history. For the early church concluded that God was doing a new thing, and that those Gentiles who manifested the fruits of the Spirit were fully acceptable to God as Gentiles. They did not have to become Jewish or follow Jewish dietary laws, and so nor do we. Despite this revelation, however, by the end of the first century, and in every time and place since, we Gentile followers of Jesus have continued to develop our own purity laws and have used them to build fences. We might be relaxed about eating prawns and pork, but we're not so relaxed about who we eat with, whether at the communion table or at any other table. Sometimes this is a matter of church doctrine. Many churches refuse communion to those who have not been baptized into their own denomination, and this is a great big boundary wall. Many churches refuse communion to anyone who publicly identifies as gay or genderqueer, another big boundary wall. In some places, divorcees are refused communion, as are children, agnostics, atheists, and people of other faiths, even when they seek it. Moving away from formal communion, these social boundaries persist. And I think the social boundaries and the communion boundaries are strongly interlinked. People who can't accept particular expressions of faith, or who come out, or who separate and divorce, they all risk terrible social exclusion from other Christians, often the people they were once closest to. Meanwhile, lots of Christians don't actually have many friends who aren't Christian, and many churches are sharply delineated by class and culture. And what this all means is that too few Christians regularly sit over meals with people who do not share their faith, their social values, their culture, or their class. It's kind of strange, because fencing off communion and limiting whom we eat with doesn't look much like the way Jesus ate, nor Peter's vision. Jesus ate with all sorts of people, sinners, tax collectors and sex workers, rich men and fishermen, women and children, the heretical and hated Samaritans, the beloved disciple and the traitor, and of course, he ate with the poor. Jesus ate with all these people and more, and there were no boundaries. Likewise, Peter's vision showed that nothing prevented him from going into a Gentile house. He necessarily ate and drank with his hosts, and at the sight of the Holy Spirit acting in their lives, he baptized them as Gentile followers of Jesus, which forever changed the way disciples dine. No longer must Jew and Gentile eat separately, for we are all part of a new creation which begins with a most basic act, sharing food and drink. So then for us, for we continue to be called to eat with all sorts of people. Atheists and agnostics, Muslims, Buddhists, shamanic priestesses, eat with them. English or indigenous, Chinese, Sudanese, Lebanese, eat with them. Sinners and saints, rich and poor, eat with them. Eat with them all. And in doing so, don't look for human identity markers, but only for the marks of God. And why? Well, the Jewish believers who had come with Peter to Cornelius's house were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. It exploded their idea of God, and it led to a radically inclusive way of life. So let us, too, eat with the Gentiles of this age, anyone who does not identify as Christian, and let us pray for eyes to see the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And let us also pray that, as astounded as we might feel when we see it, we might have the humility and the grace to recognize, name, and celebrate the Spirit's work in other people's lives, that our experience of God might keep expanding beyond our limited horizons, and that our lives might become radically hospitable, conforming to the image of God made known in Jesus Christ, the one with whom we Gentiles will eat with in just a few minutes, the one who seeks to eat with everyone. Amen. That's all for today. Thanks for listening.